This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community and by the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. Bonjour, Stéphane.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, Alex.
Bonsoir.
Where are we off to tonight?
La France.
It is France.
Paris is a city of love, and the French people proudly consider themselves some of the world's great romantics. But does this love extend to LGBTI people? France passed their marriage equality bill in 2013, but just 5 years later in 2018, the country had a record number of homophobic attacks. Is this just a blip or part of a worldwide trend driven by vocal extremists?
Theodore Thomas is an 18-year-old student from a rural community in France. He channeled his frustrations with his own experiences at school to create an anti-homophobia short film targeting high school students, and it went viral. Being a school-age child is hard enough without adding the digs and slurs of homophobia that school students can throw about liberally. Theodore Thomas decided to use his creative talents to do something about it. He created a short film to raise awareness of homophobia for French high school students, and it went viral. We started by asking Theodore how his experience of school made him want to make this film.
Since being little, I had lots of difficulties with inequality and discrimination. Sexism and racism and all these things. I also always loved cinema, and I have produced amateur movies with friends. And at the beginning of the year, I have friends who were victims of homophobic situations. This made me very angry, and I felt I had to do something. So I put my passion of cinema with my anger, and I made this movie.
For those who haven't seen the movie or the short film, tell us what it is about.
Yes, of course,
it's the story of Tom. He's falling in love with Bastion, and also the story of Gail, who is in love with Lola. They are high school students who are simply trying to live their love, but they're going to be confronted with the hard reality of this world, which is a little bit too judgmental on what people are doing when it is different from what the majority of people are doing, unfortunately. So they are simply going to be confronted with reality.
What were the reactions from parents, teachers, your classmates?
Well, the high school was a partner, as the administration allowed us to film on location. They also allowed us to use some students that were free to play extras. So with the high school students that were extras, there were no problems. We had one or two problems, as we also filmed in a different high school, where we received a homophobic comment from one of the students, but it was frankly minor. There hasn't been any more of that. Most of the extras came to see the movie at a preview, as before releasing the short film on YouTube, we screened it in a cinema. I haven't had any other negative feedback. Parents didn't complain, as far as I know.
What do you think is behind the fact that your movie had so many views in a short period of time?
Before I produced the movie, I looked around on the French YouTube, and there are a few LGBTIQ short films, a few on homophobia, and it looked that there was a public for it, with some of these short films getting 70,000 views in the tens of thousands minimum. So I realized that there was a public that resonated with these stories. All these short films seem to have been produced in high school or amateur shorts with not an exceptional quality, even if they were good short films. I thought that maybe I could try to make a short movie of a better quality. So I tried to get some money and I selected very good actors. I think that this made a difference. Having professionals was important, it made a difference. Actors are really able to convey the art in movies. And also music. The music was produced especially for the movie, and also the video quality, which is slightly better than other short movies on YouTube. Now, I still didn't expect to have more than 1 million views and be number one short film in France.
As you said, it is really well made and of great quality, with two parallel stories. How did you intersect these two stories so they are so realist and resonate with people?
Comment? Très bonne question. Si ça fait la réponse, je sais pas du tout.
How? Very good question. If only I had the answer. I absolutely do not know. That's what is really strange, is that it came very naturally to me. It was like I know the characters already, but it is not at all the case. It's not things that I have precisely seen in real life. The story is pure fiction. I didn't get inspired by specific facts, but unfortunately, I took inspiration in homophobia that I can see around me that exists in France, but I don't know. I drew this picture gradually. I didn't know how I was going to finish the movie before having finished to write the story. It unraveled gradually. It took me 3 days to write the story.
From France, that is Théodore Thomas, the young creator of an anti-homophobia film for school-aged children, and interpretation there read by James. I'm in awe of some of these young people who, you know, I think that's wrong. I shall do something about it. I shall write a play and a film. And he's done it so superbly.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, I mean, it's really good quality. If you get an opportunity to watch it, I mean, it's on YouTube and it's called Par un regard.
Say that again.
Par
un
regard.
Regard.
So, which means at a glance.
We're going to post this on our Facebook page shortly.
So he filmed this, I'm guessing, on a smartphone.
No, I think we might talk about this a little bit later, but he actually got a little bit of money, around 2,000 euros, so he was able to film it properly and pay the main actors a little bit of money.
Okay.
And also, but I think we go over that. What was interesting, though, at some point was that he said, he looked on French YouTube and there was quite a lot of things on, the LGBTI short movies.
And produced by high school students. So there is obviously there are other people feeling what he was feeling and, you know, wanting an outlet for it.
Yeah, and you know, the difference between that and him was that he managed to get a little bit of money from the town where he lives, and were able to do something of a different quality from what it is there is. So, and it went viral. So it's interesting that it's laudable that somebody wanted to do something. I think it's.
Want to put a call out to all our listeners? Is what are you seeing here in Australia? Do you think homophobia is on the rise? It's kind of we mentioned there that five, 6 years ago, France went through same-sex marriage, and then they've had this sudden uptick. There's lots of, quite often the LGBTI community is used as a political football in the lead-up to elections. Do you think homophobia is on the rise here in Australia? And coming up, we'll explore what is behind the recent rise of homophobic attacks in France. This is Joy 94.9 and you're on World Wide Wave.
Our diverse communities have one home, Joy.
This is Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament and co-president of the Parliament's LGBT intergroup on the World Wide Wave.
We're talking all about homophobia in France, but what about Australia? Do you think homophobia is on the rise? It just got me thinking, actually, in my younger days, the equivalent, the Akon, the equivalent of Thorn Harbour here in Victoria, was living in Sydney, they were running self-defence classes for gay men because gay beatings, it was still a bit of a sport. And
this is 90s, right?
This was, yes, 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, from my point of view, things have come a long way since then. That's a good thing. But is there homophobia? Are people still being vilified, discriminated?
There was, in some ways, there was some fear around the time of the plebiscite year, wasn't there?
There was
a spike because there'd be pushback. But I would have thought after that decision, then kind of that would lay that issue for a while. Now, 2018 was a bad year in France for homophobic attacks. SOS Homophobie, a local LGBTI group, revealed a 66% increase in reported attacks, reported acts of homophobic assaults, and a third consecutive year rise in reports of harassment and discrimination. All this from a country that is supposedly synonymous with love. Théodore Thomas is the 18-year-old who made a viral film to raise awareness of homophobia with high school students. We asked him what he thought was behind the recent rise in homophobic attacks.
Somehow it's a little bit going back in time. I think it's also a need for people to put certain people in boxes. It's odd that there is this dichotomy where the internet enables for information to be shared and break somehow misconceptions and ideas that we might have because of our families, upbringing and the more traditional views that might be imparted to use through education. The internet is a freedom of speech vehicle where things are shown are more normal than others. And I think that the internet is more gay-friendly than homophobic. I think it's quite strange that, but I also think that while marriage equality in France came in 2014, some people are still hung up on ideas, so I don't know, it's really strange. I don't know why this is.
Do you think the current debate on PMA, or assisted medical procreation, and the debate that took place a few years ago on marriage equality, which was quite aggressive at times, plays a role in this rise of homophobia?
Yes, of course. What is shocking is that we legislate on things that are in the private life domain and which are about freedom. Things are legislated on rights about things that people didn't really choose. It is a bit like when people didn't have the same rights as others. It's awful, really. We are born this way, and it's like hair colour. You can change it, but underneath it stays the same. It is quite terrible that we have to legislate and also engage in debates. But there is no education around the issues. People are asked, are you for or against same-sex marriage for homosexual people, for example? And we are not telling people what is homosexuality. So obviously somebody that doesn't know, that hasn't received any education on what homosexuality is, might not understand the underlying issues. Maybe it would be good if we could inform people that it is something that isn't a choice or a medical condition or something that people choose to do to be different. I really think there is a need for some education before we start debating. I also think that debates on things that we cannot change shouldn't take place.
We tend to think of France as progressive regarding issues of sexuality. Is there still a lingering machismo in the French school system and society?
En fait, le problème, c'est que c'est presque une question de culture.
As a matter of fact, the problem is that it's like a cultural aspect. It is quite disturbing. It is a bit like some sort of homophobia is passive or casual discrimination. It is casual, but it is not casual in the sense that it is nice. It is really seen as casual, so people do not think it is harmful, but it is really derogatory. I mean, it's like when saying to a boy, you don't have any courage, you're like a girl or what. Yes, but really you can't think like that. You can't say or think that being a girl or being told that you are behaving like a girl for a boy should be shameful. No, there is no shame in that. It's like saying to somebody that you don't have any courage, so you are a poof. Until we carry on to make these comments, And then people say to you, no, I'm not homophobic, I have friends, or I'm not sexist, etc. But you can object to being homophobic. If you carry on having this kind of language, discreet but at the forefront of the conversation, you won't get out of this latent homophobia. I think in France, we are the kings of this kind of speech with hidden hate.
Donc en France, je pense qu'on est les rois de ça, en fait, vraiment, de ce discours-là de haine cachée, en fait.
Hidden hate, that is French anti-homophobia campaigner Théodore Thomas speaking to us here on Joy 94.9. He sounds very mature.
Yes.
He's got...
Ridiculously so.
Yeah, wow. I mean, and I guess...
I don't know many 18-year-olds. Well, I know a few of our teachers whose students are incredibly eloquent for their age, but yeah, he sounds very... has it together.
There's something there too. He was talking about, why do we need to legislate on private lives and private issues? That's a very, I don't know, outsider's view. It's a very French thing, liberty and
you think
that? Am I being stereotypical?
Don't forget, they are the country that brought in laws regarding headscarves in public. So, as in laws against the wearing of the hijab.
And that's my point. Is there some sort of change
going on
here?
The French
do
like to legislate at times. You know,
does the reality match the stereotype?
Not to say that that's a
regarding the headscarf, I mean, there was this thing about it's ingrained in what yeah. this said about the French society and the separation between state and
yes,
church, and therefore
that,
you can't display any.
No, and this is why I think that particular issue yeah. is so.
But
difficult because it's not black and white. You know, your position on separation of church and state is as you say profoundly.
But Thomas said something that surprised me. Theodore Thomas. I apologise. The internet is more gay friendly than homophobic. Do you think that's the case? I mean, the internet provides that anonymity for anybody to throw these barbs and, to behave in a way they would not normally do in public.
Mm.
Do you think it is more gay-friendly than homophobic?
It depends, really, what realm. I mean, social, the internet is such a broad spectrum of sites and...
I think it can be quite cruel for some people because doesn't seem to be any restraints that you would have in day-to-day. You know, when you're face to face with somebody, you restrain and you're not rude, or you try to. Most people would.
You can have secret and fake profiles and
yes,
all those sorts of things.
Yes, you can be completely somebody that and you can just be damn rude and abusive, and it doesn't look that it doesn't seem to be as much consequences than in face to face with somebody. So I think it's an outlet for some people to be quite abusive. But it's also, I mean, when you look at all the gay apps and how it's changed the dating thing, it's also a way to have moved quite a lot of things forward. So, I don't know, I'm a bit conflicted.
And how do you... he also talked a bit about the language that is used. How do you... I guess school's one environment where you learn behaviours, where you learn language, but then you go home. So if you've got an influence from your parents at home which is not matching up with the school, as a young person, how do you sort of sift through what's the right and what's the wrong? What's the most trusted source, your parents or the school?
Well, what should it be?
I don't know.
It's an age-old quandary, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And then there's that whole social engineering argument that's used by conservatives that schools are socially engineering young people away from traditional values, blah, blah, blah. You know, we hear this a lot, particularly from in regards to state school teachers like myself, because we're all Marxist pinkos, of course. France has, France are all state schools, basically, except for a very small number of... So I think that is quite a common issue, I think, dilemma, but I don't think, there's any...
I mean, there's very, very, very few private school
Absolutely.
Private school are completely private. You have to pay for it completely. It's not subsidized by the government. So if you want to pay for private education, it's on you. The government won't help you.
We are talking France, the homophobic rise and the fight against it on World Wide Wave. Coming up, we've got a lot of messages coming in about homophobia here in Australia.
The Joy Community, here for you, here together.
This is Dr. Sean Cole from London College of Fashion. Some things go out of style, but World Wide Wave never does. You're on Joy 94.9.
Messages have been coming in. So we're talking about homophobia, and we have an 18-year-old guest from France who's created an anti-homophobia film. What do you think is happening here in Australia? So Adam has messaged in. It is definitely on the rise. I live with my husband in the city on Collins Street, and there are groups of people that will not get in the elevator with us, or worse, close the doors if they see us. We've even been called poofs at times when Airbnb people come into town. It's scary in your own town. We don't feel safe. Thanks, Adam. Jamie from Raven, I've found the internet and particularly social media homophobic. Comments from trolls and even the providers themselves applying different rules to gay content. That's an interesting... two different things there. Yeah. You do get the trolls. So is it... if you look at the volume of homophobic comments that are made, is it coming from a very small number of very loud people? Or is it actually something that is widespread? And then the rules from the internet providers who... it's very hard to follow what's allowed and what's not and all that from, you know...
Are forums still a thing? I mean, it's mostly on social media, but people don't talk, don't write on forums like we used to, where there was, or do they? I don't know. I've not used a forum for.
No, it seems to be a bit replaced by the various forms of
social media. So in theory, it should be a bit more kind of monitored and framed, this kind of thing. But
Jamie suggests not. Fairly. A anonymous one here. I was recently at work in a religious-based organisation and experienced homophobia. Managers made comments about my sexuality as a part of an ongoing dispute. When I sought to challenge this, my legal advice was the current exemptions would get them off the hook. Sad to think it's still okay under our laws. Legalised homophobia within religious institutions.
Wow. Yes.
Well, and that's sort of the whole premise of the current debate, isn't it? So tonight we're in France on World Wide Wave with young filmmaker Theodore Thomas. Schools can be a place where young minds can challenge old thinking and stretch their views of the world. But do those views go as far as sexual orientation and gender identity? We asked Theodore what is taught in French school about homophobia or different sexualities.
Absolutely not. I think there are high schools that... so I think that, if I'm not mistaken, the national education lately has put into place a directive for all high schools where there should be a minimum done on the subject. But the main problem is actually, I think it's not really education. It's the fact of talking about it. For me, when I was in high school, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, they never really talked about it. There was no education on this topic. Oh, yes, they would tell us homosexual, heterosexual, but there was no explanation. Sexual education was only on heterosexuality, and nothing was said on homosexuality. It's very serious, as I think that from the moment they are going to have a sexual education more inclusive, many parents are going to be outside schools with banners saying, no propaganda, no propaganda. That's why I think there is a need for education. First, we need to start by educating young people. I think it's great, for example, if I take the example of Netflix. It's great for that, as in all the content, there is really, I want to say that there is everything. And what is great is that they just portray the world with its differences and the diversity. They have a great understanding on their audience, which is large and of all ages, and with young adults who are going to be tomorrow's generation. And as in thinking these people used to seeing two boys kiss, it's like that we are going to be able to change. I think tomorrow's world, on that, I think that Netflix has a role to play in educating. But schools haven't realised that in France. And that is, it shows that the state is not... always the best in education, and private companies have better ideas with regard to portraying diversity than the state.
We read that there was some community support, some businesses that give you some money for the short movie. Could you tell us about that and what is behind such support?
Especially for the second movie, the sequel. For the first movie, the town supported me, but no local shops. But for the second one, yes, there was. For the first movie, the town gave us support and the high school. The high school lent us the premises and we received a grant from the town. And that was great. It really shows that the town is the representative of the state at local level. And it shows that now we have a budget to produce these kind of movies, artistic displays. But for the second movie, it was easier as I showed that I could do it and it was easier to find some money. But when I showed that I could produce a good quality movie with 1 million views, when I'm talked about in the media and local shops were really good, we filmed in 8 different locations, in bars, shops. I mean, it is, we had shops that gave us money. Why did they do it? I think local shops are happy to be portrayed. It is their image, and that without that, these shops are happy to support a project that already had some success and that is likely to have some success for the second movie.
$1,300,000 views. What is next for you after Par un regard?
Tout est à foirer 1 million, 300 000 views. Il y a des gens qui le font tous les jours et qui le font en 5 fois plus.
Well, it's all, but also nothing. 1,300,000 views. There are people that do that every day and 5 times more than that. I mean, I had an influential moment with this short film, but it's very transitory. It's on YouTube, so I need to stay realistic, even if it opened doors for me, as I had a lot of media attention, especially in France. You are the first international media to make contact. I want to continue, as it means that what I do reaches people, so I am going to continue. I am proud, but I also need to stay humble and see the reality. If you have a talent that can move and reach people, and that there is a public that resonates, there is a real need to continue, and somehow it means that I have a public and I'm going to continue. There is a follow-up short film that will get released soon. I wrote it before the first one was successful, and it's being released on the 12th of October 2019 on YouTube after a preview in Dijon. And after that, there are other projects with maybe a third part to the short film. It will be the last one.
To finish off, what is your message for other young people that might be in the same situation, struggling with their sexualities, having been in homophobic situation, or who have friends in the same circumstances?
If you're not sure that your parents are open-minded with regard to the subject, maybe wait a little. Don't talk about it too young. I don't know. Sometimes it's about how you are feeling about the situation. Maybe sometimes listen to your feelings, and if you feel that it might not be the time to discuss it, then don't. But if you feel your parents are open, I think that the ideal situation is to educate your relatives. There are very good videos on YouTube to explain what homosexuality is, etc. But I think you need to stay positive and proud, and if there are problems at school, ignore people that are discriminating and talk to adults about it.
Théodore Thomas, writer, producer and director of Par un regard, a short movie set in high school about homophobia. Thank you for talking to us at World Wide Wave.
And a bit of an inspiration too. One of the things you talk about there is private companies can be better, can have better ideas in education than the schools and the government companies. What do you think about that?
I wouldn't go as far as saying better ideas, but they can be better at conveying and accessing the accessing an audience.
Is that sort of private educators who come in to deliver a particular program that the schools may not be comfortable delivering, or are we talking
I thought he was maybe referring to private media like Netflix.
Yeah.
But yes, in regards to that, I mean, as a teacher, I can tell you that schools are constantly challenged by how to deliver this content, which is expected. maybe not mandated is not the right word, it is expected you deliver some degree of course, sex education, drug education, and the sex education includes issues on sexuality and gender. But often the teachers don't feel equipped, and we can't always lump it on the HAPE teachers, that's the health and PE teachers.
If the teacher's not comfortable talking about it themselves, then how are they going to impart knowledge on a subject they may know nothing about?
We get Sex Education Australia, organisations like that in schools I've taught at, get those because they know how to deliver that, warts and all, to students. And they students tend to, and they often get people closer to their age to come in. But I think he was touching upon a kind of a new generation of material out there that's now accessible with any computer that's got internet access, such as Netflix and YouTube. And I think that has been a powerful change, because I've seen some of these French mini-series that are like little short clips on YouTube set in... there was one shown at the Queer Film Festival here that was a short excerpt from a series of YouTube films. And yeah, they're quite interesting, you know, the new platform.
Now, we are going to post Theodore's film on our Facebook page, W3 Joy or Worldwide Wave, and you can watch it for there. This is Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ludwig Mohamed Zahid. I'm a gay imam speaking from France on Worldwide Wave.
A quick shout out to a couple of shows here on Joy who won big time at the National Community Broadcasting Association Awards on the weekend. Checkpoint, show on Saturday, winner of the Excellence in Innovation, Programming and Content, and the Mardi Gras Special, which was the best special event to broadcast in the whole of the country. Well done, teams. Good work. There were five other national finalists: Eurovision Top 100, Hooked, Saturday Magazine, The Bench, and Alex, who follows us on Bad Gays, for his youth contribution. Well done to all concerned. Big thank you to another youthful person, Theodore Thomas, the 18-year-old filmmaker and anti-homophobia campaigner from France. Don't forget, we've posted his short film on our Facebook page, Worldwide Wave or W3 Joy. Our Facebook friends.
Facebook, mate. Facebook friends. Yes, exactly. Keith, Claire, Dom, Peter, Angel, and a heap more have joined us and interacted with us on Facebook this week. That's W3 Joy on Facebook.
And behind the scene, our podcaster, Alex, and social media master, Dean, and also the people that wrote in today.
Lots of messages
Jamie
today.
Jamie from Robin, Adam, and
Anonymous. And also the voice of our guest tonight, James, who assisted with our interpretation of tonight. So that's a first for our show. We've done an interpretation. Well done, Stefan, on the interview.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave, or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.